Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Get all of Jordan's picks, FatJackSports.com. You got the NBA playoffs. You got baseball. And, of course, you've got soccer and Jordan's picks. Jordan, how's it going?
You know, another fight card, another fight week with live attended fans, which I always think is good if we could just move along and get out of this situation each and every single week with fights at the apex. I think it's a good thing. And yes, there's no title fights, but I'm super amped for the co-main event, and I'm super amped to see Jeremy Stephens return to the octagon. And it's a great sports weekend. Great sports weekend with the Kentucky Derby, with the NBA playoffs, all that shit going on. But I do have to get something off my chest right off the bat.
Oh no.
No, it's fine. I need to, everything's fine. I'm glad you're fine. Because I was listening to Cap'n Hood today. Today's Friday, recording this on Friday. I was listening to Cap'n Hood, and Courtney Cronin was filling in for David Kaplan.
Yeah.
And they opened up the show talking about New Orleans. And then Hoodie was talking about a story where he was with you in New Orleans covering an Arena Football League team. And apparently you fell down a man cover?
No, it's not entirely true.
What's going on? Are you
so
okay?
What happened was, this was my first time in New Orleans. We went to cover the Arena Bowl between the Chicago's whoever's and someone. And Chicago lost, so they didn't even make it to the final game, the Arena Bowl. And so we had to go anyway because ESPN was carrying it. Mike and Mike were there.
It was Mike and Mike. That's what Hoodie was talking about.
Yeah, Mike and Mike were there. We had to go on Radio Row, all that stuff. So we went out that night, and they have they have women there.
They do have women. Yes,
that are
females
holding like test tubes of shots.
Yeah.
Right? And so what they do is they put the bottom part of that in their mouth, and then you're supposed to like get down on one knee. And then they dump it into your mouth, right? I didn't notice that there was a pothole right there. So when I went to go put my foot backwards, you know, to get down on one knee, my foot went into the pothole and I like slipped, and she went to dump the shot into my mouth, and it just kind of got all over my shirt.
Oh,
so it looked like I'd been out drinking all night and was like already hammered.
It was like
stuff
two, it was like
2 o'clock
shirt. In the afternoon.
It was like, I mean, it was like 7 o'clock at night, but like I was stone cold sober and looked like I had been out all night.
Well, I guess
already.
You should say any hour of the day is probably fine for New Orleans.
Yeah, like, it's true. You know, like it dried up. It was just a bad look. And she was like, oh, you okay? And I was like, I promise I'm sober. This is not a reflection of my intoxication. This is your poor city streets. Yeah, how about fill your potholes while people are walking?
Okay, so you did not fall down a manhole. That's
no,
good.
I did not. No, no. Yeah, but I mean, it was the same kind of concept. Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Yeah,
I just needed clarity on that because I was concerned, and I was listening to the show this morning. Again, we're recording this on a Friday. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see Abdallah later today, and got to get the full truth of the story.
And then I woke up surrounded by Crystal Burger wrappers and some beads.
Well, you would be doing that. Come New Orleans.
So. Yeah, exactly. So that's a weird way to start the podcast. We've got a better way to kick off the podcast as we have a special guest on the line. Joining us right now on the Unnamed MMA Podcast is former fighter, current coach, current commentator, and all-around newsmaker Dean Thomas. We're so happy to have him on the podcast. Dean, how's it going?
Everything's good. Everything's good. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. My first time ever in Des Moines. First time in Iowa. And just getting ready for the UFC, man. I got Jillian Robertson tomorrow. About to scrap, so I'm excited.
Well, let's talk about that matchup right off the bat because, you know, that's one of the intriguing, I think, you know, fights stylistically. Marina Rodriguez, striker, Jillian Robertson, always ever improving her stand-up, but she's going to have, obviously, the grappling edge, Dean. But this is a sports betting show. I like the prop of Jillian Robertson to win this fight via submission. Is my money in the right spot?
Your money's in the right spot. I like it, too. Marina Rodriguez has been taken down in every fight. We don't expect to be any different this time. And if Jillian gets on top of you, it's a wrap. So I think I don't know what the odds are for Jillian by submission, but I like those odds.
Well, I do too. And that's why I think you're right with Marina Rodriguez and her inability to keep fights standing. I think, Dean, though, selfishly, probably the other fun thing for you is seeing a guy that was fighting when you were fighting in the UFC. In fact, a guy that you shared the octagon with is returning to the UFC. How cool is it to see Jeremy Stephens compete again in the UFC?
Absolutely love it, man. It makes me feel young again. I was Jeremy Stephens' very first fight in the UFC. Now, here's another little tidbit for you. My last fight in the UFC was against Josh Neer, who's also from Des Moines, Iowa. So I got history with Des Moines.
So you said you're out in Des Moines right now. It's the first time you're in Des Moines for this. Do you like the return to live fans and getting out of the Apex and the UFC actually having crowd reaction? Because, you know, we've heard from a few fighters that have said, you know, the Apex just isn't the same, where you can hear everything, you can hear all the coaches and all the trainers and everything, and being in a live environment is so much better, no matter where you are in the country. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm in the minority here. I actually like being at the Apex, selfishly like being at the Apex because it's so convenient. Everything's smaller. The fight is still the same, in my opinion, but I like it when it's smaller. When you go to these events, sometimes it gets a little convoluted. The fans are always getting in the way. Me, that's just me being selfish, but I like being at the Apex. But I got to tell you, Des Moines is a smaller town, so the market is a little smaller here. I don't expect it to be as chaotic as one of the bigger areas that we've been to. So I'm going to give Des Moines a chance and say that it's okay with me just because it's a smaller market.
The other fight that has my eye, Dean, is the co-main event. You know, Bo Nickel, there's a lot of hype around him. He's undefeated. He's an All-American wrestler from Penn State, probably his toughest test to date, in Rainier de Ridder. What are your expectations of this co-main event fight?
I got to tell you guys, man, the rumblings around the community is that Bo is in trouble. They think that Bo may not be ready for this challenge. This is his biggest challenge that he's had to face so far. And I agree. You know, a lot of people don't know Rainier de Ridder because he's coming from a different organization. But he's got two losses to the same guy in a heavier weight class. Bo Nickel, he's improved, but I don't think he's improved enough, especially in the striking department. Yeah, he has a knockout over Val Woodburn. But Val Woodburn, you wouldn't be able to pick him if he walked up to you on the street. The reality is, I'm not sure Bo's overall MMA game is going to be up for this challenge. I don't know what the odds are. I think the odds
I'll tell you what the odds are, Dean. They're plus 270 right now as we're recording with this with you on a Friday afternoon. The weigh-ins are set. Plus 270 is the payback on RDR.
I like that. And if I would go whatever the odds are for RDR by submission, I like that even more.
Oh, boy. You're going to buy a lot of beer in Des Moines, Iowa with that payback, Dean.
I hope so.
So Jordan and I usually call these fight nights the appetizer as we get in between the UFC pay-per-view events. Next weekend, we've got Chicago's very own Bilal Muhammad fighting Jack De La Maddalena. This is an interesting spot for Bilal because he's never been this big of a favorite before. I don't know on his quest to get this belt before if he's been a favorite at all on his way to be a champion. He's often, you know, complained about by fans as a boring champion, and the way he fights is kind of boring. What do you think of Bilal Muhammad? And obviously he's a big favorite in this fight, but what do you think of him as a UFC fighter and as a champion right now?
I think Bilal Muhammad is an absolute dog. I think that you guys should love him. He's a Chicago guy, but right. You guys should love him. But Bilal Muhammad can fight. He's a dog. He's willing to fight anybody that they put in front of him. And so is Jack De La Maddalena. So I think this is a fight between two dogs about to go at it. But I like Bilal Muhammad in this fight just because he does have the wrestling advantage and just his IQ. He's been around the game a little bit longer, and he spent a lot of time with the Dagestani wrestlers, so he's starting to understand the game from the way they see it, and they've always had a lot of success. But I like Bilal Muhammad as a fighter. I don't think he's boring. I think he may lack finishing ability, but that doesn't necessarily make him boring. I think he's a great champion. I'm excited about his fight. I'll be at the fight. I'll be working the pre-show on ESPN, so if you guys get a chance, make sure y'all watch that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we don't think he's a boring fighter. Look, winning is winning, and if we've got a Chicago champion, the way our sports teams are playing, we'll take a Chicago champion as something to talk about. I like that you said that he's willing to fight anybody, and I think that he's one of these fighters, especially getting up to the championship, that would fight whenever he was asked. He was always a backup, a replacement on a few of these fights leading up to this, to when he got the belt. I know that there is conversation about the UFC moving to Netflix and having these big fights, and Netflix likes having big marquee events. Do you think that we'll ever get to a point in the UFC where the UFC says to these guys, hey, if you're healthy, you need to fight every 5 months. You need to fight every 6 months? Because some of these, you know, lapses in time between these fights with like John Jones and some of these other guys, it's kind of lacking these big headlining events that we're seeing from the UFC. Do you think they'll ever move in that direction, especially asking for $1 billion from a company to put their fights on?
Oh God, I hope so. I really do hope. I pray that that is the case. That's always been my biggest gripe with these fighters, is that they're just not frequent enough. I mean, how do you expect to build a brand and a brand name and people to get behind you when you fight once a year? People have short memories. You have to get out there and fight as often as you can. And this is something that I talked to Jillian Robertson about, is that whenever we get an opportunity to fight, you need to take it. And for champions like Bilal Muhammad, Merab Dvalishvili, Alexander Volkanovski, these guys are willing to fight. Some other champions not willing to fight as frequently, and I think that's killing not only their brand, but also MMA in general. When people want to get behind you, they can't because you're not fighting enough. I hope, I pray that it's the case that the UFC can lure these guys in. I don't know if it's going to take money, but to lure them in to fight more frequently.
Well, that leads to our kind of main topic with you, Dean. And you were, you know, newsworthy this week talking, offering your opinion on what the UFC should do during International Fight Week. You offered that Tom Aspinall should volunteer. He should be fighting. If it's John Jones or it's someone else, Tom Aspinall needs to be on the marquee for UFC International Fight Week. So do you have any other inside information that will say, yes, we're going to see him compete? And what is your opinion of John Jones? When are we going to see him, if ever, return to the octagon?
Listen, John Jones is the greatest fighter we've ever seen. There's no denying that. What he's done for the sport and in the sport will never be duplicated. But it's time we strip him. He's got to give up the belt, because Tom Aspinall, he's killing Tom Aspinall's career. Tom Aspinall right now is the greatest heavyweight on the planet, the greatest fighter on the planet, but we don't get a chance to see him fight because he's been waiting around for this John Jones fight, and John Jones has been holding that carrot over his head for over a year now. He made him wait to fight so he could fight Stipe. Now he's making him wait now. I say strip John Jones of the belt. Let Tom Aspinall fight somebody else so he could become the heavyweight champion of the world. And if John Jones wants to get it back, give him the next shot. But for now, you got to strip John Jones of the title and give Tom Aspinall the opportunity to be the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And you need to do that on International Fight Week.
Yeah, that kind of goes into what we just talked about ways to, you know, make these guys fight. Maybe one of the stipulations is if you don't fight for so many months, either we take your belt away, right? And we have like an interim fight until you're ready to fight. That would be a way to get these guys to fight, right?
Absolutely. And I get that everybody's a little bit different depending on your star power. Some fighters have more of a name than others. I mean, Aljamain Sterling, they forced Aljamain Sterling to fight Sean O'Malley. He didn't want to take the fight. They forced him to take the fight, or he was going to get stripped of his belt. He had to take the fight. He ended up losing. They're not doing this with John Jones. They let John Jones sit on this title for way too long. I'm not sure why. I don't know what dirt John Jones has over the organization with how he has this type of leverage. Yes, he's the greatest fighter in the world, but you're holding things up. You're holding people back from their careers. Tom Aspinall hasn't been able to fight and prove that he's the best heavyweight in the world because John won't fight him. And I get it. If John doesn't want to fight him, that's fine. But at least give up the belt and let Tom Aspinall move on with his career.
So we started our conversation talking about your career and guys on this fight card this weekend that you fought before. Two guys that started their career together, and one of them is ending their career together. Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier are going to be fighting in a couple months here. What do you think of that fight? What do you think about Dustin Poirier's career as a UFC fighter?
It's the perfect fight, and it's such an unprecedented thing that Dustin was able to do to get this fight in New Orleans, because I don't think the UFC had any plans to go to New Orleans. Dustin made this happen. He gets to go off. He has his last fight against a guy who he already has two wins over. Normally, the UFC will put you up against a guy. I mean, if we saw Anthony Smith last week, they put him up against an undefeated fighter that absolutely bludgeoned him. But Dustin has a very good opportunity to go out on a win. And then also, not only just go out on a win, but take a BMF belt with him. What a great opportunity it is for Dustin. I think it's going to be a great fight. Max Holloway is a formidable opponent, a fan favorite. I think it's a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to be out there. So, New Orleans, here I come.
The world tour, Dean Thomas. You got Des Moines, Iowa. Got Canada, New Orleans. It's all happening. Dean, you're the best. Thank you so much for taking some time. I hope you're well and look forward to seeing you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Anytime. We'll talk soon.
All right. That's one of the best minds, one of the best fighters of all time, coaches of all time, and commentators of all time. And you can obviously hear his work on ESPN during all the broadcasts. So that's a great job.
Absolutely. And we thank Dean Thomas for joining us. So he started to preview these fights a little bit that we're going to get into, you know, with Bo Nickel and RDR, Rainier de Ritter here. And, you know, we've got some other good fights. Obviously, like, the fights here, he's taking the underdog here in Rainier de Ritter against Bo Nickel at plus 270 right now. But a lot of these fights aren't very competitive. I mean, you've got Santiago, Ponzinibbio and Daniel Rodriguez at plus 100. Ponzinibbio's minus 120. But your main event is Corey Sandhagen minus 550, the favorite here against Deiveson Figueiredo. So what do you think of, do you agree with him in taking RDR as the underdog? And what do you think of the main event here?
Well, I agree with him from the standpoint this is his toughest challenge to date. He's never fought a grappler like Rainier de Ritter. I think Rainier de Ritter has proven his stock in his first two appearances in the UFC. Impressive victories over Jared Meerschaert, over Kevin Holland. He hasn't been threatened by that. I mean, it's a little bit different now that you're looking at a situation where he's taking on an All-American wrestler, a guy that is extremely well-versed at taking fights to the ground. Ever improving with his stand-up, I think that a lot of people felt that Bo Nickel, the last time we saw him, should have just ran right through Paul Craig, knocked him out. But now there's arguments that he was a little bit concerned about potentially going to the ground against a guy like Paul Craig, who we know has a very dangerous guard. Rainier de Ritter is going to offer the same type of threat if the fight does go to the ground. And if Bo Nickel has not improved from fight to fight with his stand-up skill set, he is in for a lot of trouble. But there is also a situation, and people believe this, that Bo Nickel is kind of holding back a little bit. He wasn't putting his full pedal to the metal, so to speak, in that last fight. So I'd love to take a flyer on Rainier de Ritter. Maybe if my Kentucky Derby horse comes in or some of those NBA playoff hits, or I'm doing well on the prelims, I'll put something down on Rainier de Ritter. But I cannot recommend Rainier de Ritter just because of the hype around Bo Nickel. He has lived up to it. I mean, look, you know this, Abdallah. You and I have been doing this enough time. Like, yes, there is hype around prospects, and there's guys that come to the UFC, but eventually they are not smashing people anymore. Eventually they meet people, and they're contested. And you got to understand, like, this guy transitioned to the sport, and he's only 7-0. So if you need me to make a recommendation, you like me doing that, I don't mind Rainier de Ritter, but I think I'm like in the over. I think this fight's going to the scorecards. Okay. I don't think we're getting a finish. I think Bo Nickel's going to try again. Play it safe, keep this fight on the feet, and pepper and outpoint Rainier de Ritter to coast to a unanimous decision victory.
All right, over 2.5 is plus 100, so even money there on over 2.5. We've got, not only do we have de Ritter against Nickel, we've got Dean Thomas against Jordan Sherwood here. So you're going with Bo Nickel, he's going with de Ritter. He also mentioned de Ritter by submission. That is plus 750. So if your long shot derby horse didn't come in, maybe that'll help you a little bit, make some of that up. Also, our main event here, Corey Sandhagen against Deiveson Figueiredo. Sandhagen, like I mentioned, a huge favorite here at minus 550. Figueiredo plus 390. What do you think of our main event here?
Just real quick, Rainier de Ritter, 13 of his 19 wins have come via submission, so it's in all likelihood that he would be getting a win via submission if his hand is raised. I don't like that the odds are so in favor of Corey Sandhagen. I think Corey Sandhagen is a very talented bantamweight. He was identified early on in his UFC career as Dominick Cruz 2.0. The footwork, the speed, the boxing of Dominick Cruz, but a younger fighter, a taller fighter than Dominick Cruz, and a better wrestler than Dominick Cruz. But Corey Sandhagen has been that guy that has gotten to the title fight. He's gotten to the interim title fight or the number one contender fight, and then he has lost those fights. And again, you're not going to, you know, poo-poo losing to Umar Nurmagomedov, and you're not going to lose, you know, Aljamain Sterling and TJ Dillashaw. You know, fights outside of, you know, Sterling finished him pretty early. But outside of that, five-round decision fights back and forth. But with Figueiredo, you know, Divison, obviously former champion in the flyweight division, powerful, you know, fighter, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, has shown that he has been able to transition from the flyweight to the bantamweight division. But for me, Figueiredo is fighting the same fight that he did in his last fight, which was a loss to Peter Yan, and a guy that just outworked him, outboxed him, avoided damage, and kept the fight standing. And I think that's exactly the game plan, exactly the same situation we're going to see in this main event fight. This fight is expected to go five rounds, is expected to go, you know, deep into the fight. So I think even Corey Sandhagen, I believe, via decision, is not plus money.
It's minus like 150.
150. So
I mean, over 4.5 is minus 240.
Yeah. So I mean, they're thinking that this fight's not going to threaten at all with a finish either way. So I think, again, what I've seen recently is Deiveson Figueiredo just can't match up with the best of the best bantamweights. He's one of the best fighters we've seen, multiple flyweight champion. But I think that he's just going to be outworked 4 or 5 rounds against Corey Sandhagen. So this will probably be one of those boring 5-round main event fights. Not that competitive. Maybe Figueiredo, threatens early. He does have the, he does carry power from round 1 to round 5, but I just don't see it happen. I think Corey Sandhagen is going to win the fight.
All right, so we've got two favorites there. You like Bo Nickel and Corey Sandhagen. Anything in the Santiago Ponzinibbio and Daniel Rodriguez fight?
This is the toss-up. This is the toss-up fight.
The odds would vary.
I just think that Santiago Ponzinibbio just doesn't carry the same power and the same speed that at one point had him winning 7 fights in a row in the welterweight division and on the cusp of a championship. It was injuries. It was illness that prevented him from getting any shot. He still beats fighters. He still beats fighters like Daniel Rodriguez. But I think for me, I'm going to take the dog. I think Daniel Rodriguez can outwork, outbox, and outpoint a guy like Santiago Ponzinibbio. So small play for me on the underdog in that one.
All right. Anything else in this UFC Des Moines for this? Like, it's UFC Fight Night, but it's great that the hashtag is UFC Des Moines.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it was UFC Iowa. That to me, like, UFC Des Moines is cool, but just call it
UFC
Iowa.
UFC Iowa. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I think that Jeremy Stevens returning is a great story. It is definitely helpful that he's from Des Moines, Iowa. That's one of the reasons why he's on the card. But he only signed a 1-fight deal. I mean, he got released from the UFC. He went over to the PFL. Didn't do well there. Has had some success in bare-knuckle boxing. So he's had, I think, 3 fights in a row, including knocking out Eddie Alvarez in his last fight. A guy like his opponent in this fight, Mason Jones, is going to bring like a bare-knuckle boxing like fight to him. But Jones does have wrestling. Jones does have wrestling that he can rely on. Jeremy Stevens struggles, if at all, if this fight goes to the ground. I'm just playing a finish. I think even Jeremy Stevens is going to come out like a bat out of hell. He's going to feed off the crowd and just obliterate Mason Jones, or Mason Jones lands something or gets this fight to the ground and submits him. So I like the under, and it's, I think, $1.05, $1.10 for something for under 2.5.
Okay. I got to look at that one real quick. Anything for our parlay? Do we want a parlay? Do you have a parlay? I don't have a prop of the night. Not going to lie. Don't have one. Not going to force one.
Do I have a prop of the night you're asking me?
No. I'm saying, do you have anything for a parlay?
So I think you could do Sandhagen.
Okay.
You could do Nickel.
Okay.
You could do Montel Jackson.
Ooh.
Okay. And you can do Mason Jones. How about that four leg? No. Don't do Mason Jones. Do Jillian Robertson.
Jillian Robertson. Okay. That pays plus 200.
Okay.
So plus 200. So Sandhagen, Nickel, Jackson, and Robertson.
Let's do it.
All right. That pays 2-1. So we talked to Dean Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us, Dean. It was great to talk to him about like the state of UFC and get a couple previews of these fights. Next week, we got a big one, Jordan. Our guy, Bilal Muhammad, is fighting to retain his championship belt against Jack De La Maddalena, UFC 315. So we will be back next week with a big preview. He's Jordan Sherwood. Get him on Twitter. Wood on ESPN 1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to. Jordan's the man, but follow me if you want to, I guess. At Adam A. Abdallah. Get all of his picks, like I said, FatJackSports.com. And we'll be back next week for a big preview of UFC 315 on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.